Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, short show, Fear the Walking Dead, Killjoys, Preacher. Jamie has some things, exciting fun things to talk about. One of them being the Dark Crystal. So, as soon as they get here, we'll get rocking and rolling. In the meantime, I have nothing I can think of to talk about. Let's see. And this is probably old news, but I feel like the superhero stuff, Artie and I watched Doom Patrol. That was a lot of cookie fun. And yay, I have a co-host, so never mind. Hello.
Hi, AJ. How are you? It's Karen.
Good. How are you? I know who it is.
Oh.
You think I can't tell you
in
Jamie part?
I think so. I bet the listeners can also by now.
Yes, I would hope so.
Anyway, hi. Good to be here. I think Jamie will be here in a second. We have a short show, right?
Yep.
Not
three shows and a few things that Jamie wants to mention.
Yeah.
So, wait for Jamie. Did you check out? Have you checked out The Boys?
The Void. No,
Boys,
what's The Boys?
B-O-I-S.
The Boys. No, I haven't seen them. I didn't have time to watch The Boys. I went away for the weekend, and I didn't have time to watch any TV.
Karen the Jet Setter.
No, I just went to the Jersey Shore, and then I went to the U.S. Open yesterday. Hi, Jamie.
Hi. I'm taking a pill.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
That's okay. So I haven't had time to watch The Boys, AJ. Do you guys like it?
Yeah,
watch
it was really good. The Boys.
The Boys.
I haven't had time to watch either. No,
did you watch it? Did you and Artie watch it?
Yeah, we watched it. It was good. And actually, it was funny because, you know, most of the time I have read something first and then see the TV show, and I'm like, yay! In this case, I have watched the first season of The Boys, and now I'm actually reading the comic. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's backwards
based on
for you.
Comic book, isn't it? Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
What's that, Jamie?
I said I was going to ask you. I thought it was based on a comic, but you answered me.
Yeah.
Already.
No,
okay.
I didn't hear you, so that's why I didn't answer. By Garth Ennis, the same person who wrote the Preacher comic book.
Yeah, I know nothing about it except for a few people telling me I should check it out, so I guess I'll have to do that this week. It's on the list.
Right, so.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
And I want to watch Carnival Row.
Niece,
I haven't gotten that far yet, but I'm going to watch Carnival Row. Yeah, I might as well talk about that first. So on the 30th, which I want to say the same day Carnival Row starts too, but that one I'm not sure about. But anyway,
it's Friday.
Dark Crystal starts.
On Friday.
Okay, that's Friday. Okay, well, the 30th, Dark Crystal starts the series, which is a prequel to the original movie. And I know, Karen, you had asked me about the movie and that once I saw it, what I thought. I really liked the movie, although I think that if I had seen it first when I was younger, I feel like it maybe would have liked, not that I didn't like it, I liked it a lot, but I feel like it's more geared towards the movie. It's more geared towards a little bit more younger audience, even though it is pretty dark. But even for back then, like the puppets, and you just think of them as the fact like they didn't use any animation, everything, and it's all by puppets. It's all, you know, thing like realistic scenes in that they've stuck in. I think it's amazing, even for the original. You just watch it, and I don't know. It looks really good, especially for if it was made in 1982. So got to look at it that way, too. And it's got a good story. Like I said, it was darker than I expected, but since I hadn't seen it, I didn't know that. But so I saw that, and then I, after that, watched the series, which I really, really enjoyed. It is darker, but I think it's also more I feel like it's more all ages than the other one is, at least in my opinion. Like, I liked the series more. But since I didn't grow up with the original, you know, I might feel differently. Like if it had been Labyrinth, like I love Labyrinth, but that's because I grew up with it. So, but anyway, I was amazed by the way it looked because you tend to forget that it's not digital. I mean, you can tell it's puppets in the sense that their lips don't always match up just because it's puppet flaps and people's voices. You know, I mean, to some extent, it's not going to be exact, but they look really, really good. And I love how the design of the characters and the world in the series is it still looks like it belongs with the original movie. Like even just the creature designs look so similar, but yet elevated because it's like they took what they had and they, you know, they upped it, but they didn't like change everything. It definitely still has the same look, which I really liked. But it's obviously it's about, for people who have seen the movie, obviously, it's about what happened when the Skeksis at first were ruling the Gelflings and everybody was getting along, and then that's kind of what happened and when they had their war, when they started trying to kill all the Gelflings to get their essence. And that's what the series is about. I think everybody knows that. That's not really spoiling anything to say that. But it's nice also that they left it open so they could have another series if they wanted to, but they don't have to. I think it works either way. And there's a lot of good actors in it too. Like I wouldn't have known who was in it if I didn't look at the cast list. Cause like Mark Hamill's in it, Helena Bonham Carter's in it, Leisha Vikander, I forget exactly what her name is or how to say it, Vikander, the one who was in that that was in Deus Ex Machina. That's really good. She's in it. There's a
Leisha Vikander.
Yeah, I didn't say it right. Okay, Leisha Vikander. She's in it. There's a lot of and obviously Jason Isaacs. There's a lot of recognizable people in it. And so people do know I did talk to Jason. He plays, I think the Skeksis is called Skekso, but it's the Emperor. It's the one that's at the very beginning of the original film before, you know, somebody else takes over. So it's about, you know, he's got a big part in it, and it's really good. And I have that interview. It'll be up within the next couple days, I'm hoping tomorrow. So people can watch out for that. And he also did talk about the OA and about some of the things that people have been doing for it if people are interested in reading that as well. But that will be coming up at scifivision.com. So, but yeah, so that's
great.
That. So,
Jimmy, you got like an advance screener of the series?
Yes.
On Netflix?
Well, I figured when I was saying that, people got that. Yes, I've watched the whole series. The whole,
okay.
This whole season series, whatever you want to call it.
How many episodes
I call
are
it
there?
Seasons, but yeah, but it's limited. He said it, you know, it's meant to be limited, but it can, you know, it can go on.
Jamie, how many episodes?
Well, so I don't want to get too into, you know, why. I don't want to tell you how it ends or anything, but it's less he can have, you know, so there could be more, which I'd like to see.
Jamie, I don't think you heard EJS. How many?
Sorry.
Does Jamie hear me at all?
I can hear you
go
now.
Ahead.
I can hear Karen. She was cutting in and out. Were you saying something? I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Say it again.
I just asked how many episodes it was.
You asked what? I'm sorry.
How many episodes?
Oh, sorry. There's 10 episodes. For some reason, sometimes you have a hard time hearing. I don't know why. But, yeah, there are 10 episodes. They're, you know, 45, 50 minutes around there.
Jamie, the original movie was done by Jim Henson and the Muppet Factory or whatever his Muppet creation studio was. Is this like, so I know you said this is all puppetry in this one, and then it kept the same look, so it's sort of like Muppets, like big puppets like that on a background, like there's no,
oh,
all practical,
yeah.
With no CGI?
He said the only CGI was, like, to cut out the wires and stuff like that. But as far as I can tell,
okay.
it's all – I mean, there's, like, little things, which, I mean, kind of
yeah.
has to have as a live-action movie. But, no, you can tell the sets are all built. That's why it's so cool. I really liked it. I keep forgetting that, no, these are puppets. They aren't people. I mean, I think at some points they're probably, you know, like, kids running or something when they show, like, full body. But for the most part, no, they definitely – it's great animation, and it's – there's so many details, too. That's what I love, and I loved about the original, too, is they had, like, so many different, you know, creatures in the woods and stuff and all the little things. It's like that again. There's a lot of attention to detail.
Cool. I'll check it out. I'll definitely check it out.
Yep. And even if you haven't seen the original film, if people haven't, I don't think you necessarily have to get it because this is the prequel, but I think you can appreciate the new one more if you watch the original first, because that's why I wanted to make sure I did.
Yeah, I did not grow up with it or see it as a child either. I saw it only within the last, like, maybe 3 years ago or something for the first time on the big
really?
Screen. It aired at a movie theater. You know, I'm a little bit older than you are, AJ, and I had some...
Not that
some
much. I'm surprised, though.
Yeah, I had some friends who were only, like...
All the great ones.
I know. I've seen so many of these great old movies, right? And I go out of my way to see them. And somehow I never had, and I had some friends who... It played in a movie theater nearby with a huge screen, and my friends were like, well, you've never seen it? I can't believe you got to go. So, yeah, I'd seen it for the first time. You, AJ, remember it from your childhood, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have your kids seen it?
I don't know if Dane. I know Artie and Junior have seen it. I don't know if Damon has. I don't think.
But he's pretty little still. Damon's pretty little.
He's five
still. Yeah, that's kind of little.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to watch it, and I assume, AJ, you are. I'll be interested to hear also what the kids think about it.
Yeah, and definitely. I think it's definitely all ages. I mean, I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to really judge that. I wouldn't let real little kids see it, maybe, because I don't know. I found a lot of it very, very dark, and I don't want to say scary per se, but just kind of, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say without saying some things that happened, but I think... Probably kids do watch stuff like that, but just I don't know. I was surprised. I guess because it's Muppets, basically. I didn't expect that because it's definitely got some more violence in that than the original. But I think kind of probably younger kids it won't, you know, just that kind of stuff won't like affect them as the way it would an older person anyway. So it might not matter. But I liked it. Even though I'm probably not the targeted age range per se, I think that it works for everybody.
Cool. Great.
All right.
That's exciting. I'm excited to watch it. Yeah.
Yep. Very good. All right.
Cool.
So what show? I think the only thing, there's two that me and you have seen and one that you and AJ have seen and none that all of us have seen.
Yeah.
Jamie, you're not caught up on Preacher? Oh, no, Jamie hasn't been caught up on Preacher. Oh, my.
No, I'm so far behind, and since it's not coming back, I probably won't get there in time.
Yeah, I forgot.
All right.
Do your Fear and your Killjoy, and then...
Yep.
All right. Yeah, you want to do Fear first?
Yes, let's do Fear the Walking
Dead.
I
texted you when I first... I hope you can't hear my mother sleep snoring. She's snoring so loud. Now she's laughing at me. I don't know. When I talked to you when I first started this, because at least at the beginning of the episode, I was just like so annoyed at this. I liked the episode, but so much of what Alicia does until the end of the episode to me is so, and we've talked about this before, but just so out of character that she's not willing to kill any zombies anymore. And although we did get a new name for zombies, Eaters. But I don't know, that part of her being like, she can't do it, I just am totally over, and I thought it was ridiculous. Other than that, I thought a lot of the episode was good, but I kind of wonder if that Wes is going to come back again, because it seemed like he was going to be a bigger part from what I got, even out of what talking to obviously people read the interview now, but talking to the producer had thought so. And it just seems like this was, if not, this was kind of a one-off episode because we really didn't. I feel like the only thing that really happened in this episode was the fact that Alicia got over her, I don't want to kill anybody. And that was pretty much the whole episode. I don't know. What did you think?
I mean, I agree with you. So this show is just so thoroughly horrible week after week after week that, you know, we sort of get happy about things that normal, like I'm happy about the end of a terrible storyline. Like I'm happy to see Alicia finally be ready. I mean, the idea that that you're unwilling to kill walkers. Like, it didn't work when it was Walking Dead. Yeah, when it was Morgan in, like, whatever, season 6 or whatever of Walking Dead, season 5, and Morgan went through his thing where he wouldn't kill walkers either, made no sense to me then. I think Carol flirted with it. There was a time when, I mean, we've been through this with so many characters on so many of these shows, not wanting to kill them for whatever reason, and the idea that Alicia, one of the most badass people and a total survivor, would not kill even, like, her own life is in danger, and she can't bring herself. And
well,
she's
not for nothing, Carol was the badass in that show and wouldn't kill people. Although I think she still would kill zombies. I can't remember. She just wouldn't kill humans.
Yeah, not killing zombies. People who are already dead makes no sense. You know, particularly, like, we had last week's episode was all about going to kill a zombie. Like, those guys, like, don't want to be a zombie. Come and kill me. And they go there. They're, like, so fixated on killing this one guy who's a zombie. And then we have this other character who's the opposite. But the idea that you wouldn't kill a zombie, it is hard for me to, like, get my brain around anyway, but especially when it's a character like Alicia, right? And then Strand's life is in danger because she's, like, unwilling to defend herself. It just made no sense, and so I'm glad it's over, and we're at a sad point in the show when one of the highlights of the week is just something bad being over. But it makes no sense as a storyline. And Alicia's like another character who's like completely ruined character, right? Like Morgan, Dwight, they're all, oh, I don't know.
I'd say there's some relationship development between Strand and Alicia just because Strand's been kind of, you know, looking out for her. He's been killing them for her, which, again,
yeah,
is ridiculous. But, like, I don't mind that part of the relationship. It's just the overall idea that he's can't see, could lose his, because, I mean, if he stays blind, which I guess they got the first aid kit. They never did it. They said they would, where it was, and then they just never explained it, and he was fine, but which was bad storytelling. But the fact that if he loses his sight permanently, he's pretty much dead, and, you know, she's trying to save the other guy's life. She just, like, doesn't, I don't know. It should have pushed her into it a lot faster
than
it did. And the fact that other guy had to go out. And the thing is, Wes went out to kill the other walkers, and it seemed to me like there weren't even that many. Like, she could have went out with them if she didn't, and of course she had to be able to kill them, but, like, they could have dispatched of them really easy at the beginning of the episode and not had this whole, we got to wait for them to come get us because he's blind and Alicia's stupid.
Well,
sure.
Yeah. There was a whole lot wrong with that scene, which, if we put a pin in that for a second and talk about, I did like the new that new guy whose name, I forget his name, is it
Wes.
Sam? No, it's
Wes.
I forget the Wes. I did like the new character, Wes, which means we'll probably never see him again because he was good. So he's probably gone.
I hope he comes back, but.
And I liked that he challenged Alicia, and I liked that he was like, I'm not falling for your do-gooder crap. Like, I liked that he, you know, I'm really frustrated. I know you are also with the way these people have just become a cult around Morgan, this sort of cult that, like, we're gonna help you whether you like it or not. We're going to risk tons of people's lives to help one guy, which kind of makes no sense in the world in which they live.
I don't want your help. He's like, these people are not like that woman, you know. He's like, I don't want your help. He just wanted his motorcycle back, which he lost.
Well, I don't want your help, and I don't need your help. It, you know, it's not like a bunch of little kids who didn't want help but probably needed help, right? This guy's a grown man who's made it this long. And I liked how he was, like, calling Alicia on her bullshit, and she's like, you know, she's trying all this amateur psychology on him. Like, oh, I lost a brother, too. And Wes says, oh, look how alike we are. You know, and he's like, he's calling her on it and, like, stop with your stories and all. It bothers me a bit that it worked a little bit in the end, but I kind of like that he killed a man and pretty much did. He killed a guy for kind of what Alicia didn't consider to be a good reason. And it didn't really bother him that much that he killed someone, because he's like, this is what the world is like now. This is what you have to do. I just really liked that counterpoint to the sort of sickly sweet helpfulness we've been seeing for weeks.
Yeah. I did like, though, that I thought it was interesting that he was the one that painted the trees. So obviously he was positive at least for a while. Yeah, I don't know. Kiki. She says candy.
I hear her.
Fit. Sorry. Kiki, they hear you.
I hear her.
and then I just wanted to say this. This is not part of that, but I just happened to see it in the sidebar of the Walking Dead thing I was looking at. Apparently, and I don't know because I haven't read about it, so this is just very quickly, but that new Marvel's Moon Knight, I guess, that's going to be on Apple TV, I believe. Apparently, Ross Marquand's going to be in it, who plays Aaron on Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw it out there because I happened to see it. So there's that. That's completely unrelated. But yeah, I mean, it was an okay episode, but it's just, I don't know. I was more than anything just annoyed with her. Like, if she moves on now and she can fight again, then I think it'll be okay. But just some of those things that happen is just dumb. While I'm talking to you, I'm going to go put the candy in the cupboard because she's not going to shut up until I do.
Okay.
You can see it.
I'm not sure if that means Jamie can hear me or not.
Yes, I can hear you. I'm just walking.
Okay, all right. I mean, I am not in love with the – so the idea of who was painting the trees, you know that there was – I mean, anybody who goes on the internet knows there was a lot of speculation that maybe it was Kim Dickens, maybe it was Madison, Alicia's mom, had been painting the trees, and that's what was going to happen. I think that was I think it was wishful thinking on the part of the fans because
I had wondered if it was maybe Dwight's wife. That was the only person I had thought of that could be.
I think Jamie, that makes a lot more sense because for it to be Matt, first of all, Madison's dead. Just because we didn't see her body, like if she survived being overrun in the stadium full of zombies, I'll be kind of pissed. She also like didn't really want to leave the show and was killed off, and I don't see how she comes back. Like, why would she feel like coming back now that the show's a complete train wreck and ruined? And it also is not a thing Madison would ever do. Like, Madison was definitely like, I do what I gotta do to save my family. And she wouldn't, like, necessarily be painting around. But what I kind of really don't like is, why does everybody have time to paint trees? Like it's the end of the world. And
that's another
this
way
seems
to help
like,
people.
It
but
seems
yeah,
like not a thing that Alicia should be focusing on when there are bad guys after them and they're doing all the stuff. And then I don't really understand how Wes, like, killing this guy for a book, and then she finds out it was Wes and, oh, there's good in him. Somehow that cures Alicia of not being able to kill anymore, and she starts painting her own trees. Which, by the way, did you recognize the phrase that she painted, that no one's gone until they're gone, I think is what she painted?
It was from something but on the show, but I don't remember.
It's what Madison used to say that. Her mom used to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of how she realized it. I mean, because she's kind of like, it's not going to help me. Nothing I find from anybody's going to help me. I have to help myself. Like, I did appreciate that kind of epiphany that she had. And I get that she's painting the trees and making it her own. So I didn't dislike that. But I don't know. Like, I found it interesting, I guess, that it was Wes, but I don't know that it could have been somebody else and maybe been more interesting, I feel like.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't
know. I guess. Yeah.
Now, what
like,
about
what cool,
with...
Like, as... I guess, Jamie, quickly, maybe what's annoying about it is what we talk about every week is how, like, they're in Texas and they just keep running into the people. Like, she's like, I want to find out who's painting this tree. And, like, well, lo and behold, she runs into the guy because Texas is, like, apparently this tiny small town where they're all... They just keep, like, of course she runs into the guy who paints the trees because on the show you always run into people you know or try to find or whatever, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And when you said that makes me remember how we were talking about the videotapes and everything and why do they have videotapes and that. And, oh, my God, okay, it's dumb that the Logan's people and that found her tapes. I really don't care. But, And I don't know. I get her point of view. They were important to her, so I get that she put them in that place that was supposed to be safe. But, oh, my God, how many tapes they have. Like, it's just at the point of business. I said I would seriously believe it more if they were burning DVDs on a computer. It's just because I don't see who at that point has a VCR 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, yeah, a couple people did, but not every truck stop and, you know, every place and – so that part's kind of dumb. But the one thing I did appreciate is that for once, because I was screaming to them, like, they're going to give it to them. They're going to give it to them. At least Morgan and what's her face? I can't think of her name. At least they didn't give them what they wanted, because I thought, great, Morgan's going to tell them so they can save this one person who is bad anyway and doesn't matter. Like, no, don't
right.
do that. And they didn't for once, which was good, because they, like, always do.
Yeah.
I just like when he tripped, too, because his dick's too short. That was funny, too.
Yes, I did like that. That was funny. But that whole plot line, like, is terrible, right? Like, here we are back with the oil again, and here's Logan, like, tell me where the oil fields are. So, Jamie, this week, I finally, like, he's like, tell us where the oil fields are, and I keep thinking to myself, how is it possible that, A, he, like, why can't he just find them himself, their oil fields? First of all, like, it's Texas. The oil field should be documented. Couldn't he just, like, it's not like it's an undiscovered, it was already developed oil field. So isn't it on a map? Can he look it up in the library? Can he find out where it is? Second of all, it should be really big with lots of machines to extract oil from the earth, right? And so I'm like, God,
and they know
am I not
where they've
this?
Been. I mean, they've only been, like, in a certain size area. It's got to be within that, you know,
well,
town
that's my
or
second
whatever,
problem.
Where they were.
My first problem is, like, how can he just not find the oil field? I Googled it today. I'm like, isn't an oil field big? And I started Googling it and like, reading on Wikipedia about oil fields and looking at pictures of how, like, all this giant equipment. And then I thought, oh, my God, this show is making me stupider. Like, why am I, like, doing this? But you have a good point, Jamie. Like, another point that I thought of and that you just suggested, I think, is, like, just follow them. Like, Logan, how does he know about this vault where Al is keeping all her tapes, but he doesn't know where the oil field is?
Right?
So why does he just follow them when they go
to
get oil?
Right, but that's what I mean, too. Like, they know they haven't been, like, clear across to another state. Like, there's only so much area they would have covered in since he talked to them, because I don't think it was that much, that long.
Well,
that,
if you can run into them on,
Oh, I guess they could have maybe not visited it, though. All he knows is that it's in Polar Bear's book, but he knows what areas him and Polar Bear went to, too. So he would think, I don't know.
It's just, I mean, it's ridiculous that they're able to, like, first of all, this idea that Morgan and his people can run an oil well, extract oil from the ground, refine it into gasoline, store it, pump it, whatever. Like, what? Setting all of that aside, right? Like, why Logan can't just, like, how he finds out about the, he follows them to the safe, but he can't follow them to the oil field, right? Or why isn't Morgan just giving some gas? Morgan's got to
hold the tapes hostage, I guess.
I guess if Morgan's got a complete oil field at his disposal, just give the dude some gas. Like, Morgan's like, we can't give the gas to you, because if you have it, then we can't get it to help people.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
he offered to give him some. He didn't say he wouldn't give him some. That's the thing, though, is he said, you know, this is for a really important reason. I'd like to know what Logan's reason is, because I thought Logan was just, we want it for ourselves. But then I kind of wonder if there is a reason, because the way he kept saying it at first, now once I watched the preview, I don't think that's what it is. But at first I kind of wondered if maybe they somehow had connected with the people in the helicopters, but I don't, after seeing the preview, I don't think that's what it is.
Well, the preview that I saw, I don't know if it had too much to do with that, but exactly, he's like, Morgan, I have a way to save everybody, but you're not going to like it, so I won't tell you about it. What? Like, just be like, Morgan, this is my plan. Can I have some gas? Also,
mean, if he agreed with his plan, he might give him some at least.
Also, I don't understand, like, he's got 10 people with guns, and he just lets Morgan and Al go away. Like, he doesn't say, like, why doesn't he, like, capture them and torture Al until Morgan tells? Like, he's got guns and bullets.
Maybe he realizes that it won't work and the other ones will come after. The other thing is, and that's what I said before, too. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I know he's per se not a good guy, but he doesn't seem to be the type that's just going to torture and murder somebody until he gets what he wants. Like, he's not good, and he's trying to steal it from them, but he could be a lot worse.
I don't know, his henchmen,
evil people, he doesn't seem that bad.
His henchmen had Dwight tied up in a truck and was going to, like, beat him up and burn all of his letters until he told. And he got,
not really.
they shot up Wes's thing. He says, tell them I've got unlimited bullets and I'm going to shoot them. And, like, I don't understand how this show is so boring.
Them.
They
he didn't actually torture them. He just threatened to torture, I guess.
Maybe he would have, though, if Dwight hadn't gotten away. Dwight got away from him, so we don't know, right? But
we don't know,
like,
the extent of what he would have done either.
Oh, my God, Jamie, why are you making excuses for this stupid show? He's got 10 people with guns and unlimited bullets, and he does nothing with them but stand
on
the street and say
Morgan. No, I'm just saying I haven't seen him, like, go after and really kill anybody. And I'm not saying that what they did was okay. I'm just saying, like, in the scheme of the other villains we've had on the show, he's kind of tame. You know,
exactly.
Like if it was Negan,
exactly.
He'd be threatening a lot worse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what's so stupid about it. Like, why give him all these guns if he's not going to use them? He's just boring and lame. Like, why did they give him unlimited guns and bullets if they're not ever going to be used? Like, Matt Frewer, Logan, like, if he wants to seize the oil fields, he needs to, like, go Negan on them and do something. He's like a villain in Batman who stands around and explains to Batman how I'm going to kill you, but then gives Batman time to get away. Right?
Yeah. And I like
so
Matt
lame.
Frewer, too. Like, they're really wasting him. That annoys me because I'm so happy when he's on the show and he's done nothing. And he's funny.
They're ruining
in it
Matt Frewer.
He hasn't really anything.
I'll probably end up hating Matt Frewer by the time this is over. It's just so dumb and so boring, and I wish they would kill most of these people. I feel like they ruined Dwight. I feel like they ruined Strand. They ruined Alicia. Morgan's been ruined for a couple seasons, and I just, like, it's just stupid week after week. And by the way, Jamie, I thought of you because I remember, like, 2 weeks ago you were saying when they were looking for the inhaler for the little boy in the house with the mines around it. And you commented like, oh, they go into this pharmacy and there's like a million bottles of medicine everywhere. Like no one has been through this pharmacy yet. And then last week they go to a mall and the mall is like untouched and no one's been to the mall. And then this week we see them go into a police department and there's tons of guns and supplies everywhere. And no one has ransacked the police department. I don't understand. Like,
yeah.
And in Texas of all places, right? Like, I feel like Texas has some people that are more inclined to
suspend your disbelief.
Maybe
to make it a little more realistic. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Those things don't bother me as much as more of, like, the story problems, I think, are worse.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Than the science
stuff. They are. Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of consider that to be story stuff, because every week the story plays out in the way that the writers need it to, not because it's like any way that the story makes sense and that's progressing, right?
Yeah,
the writers are writing some stupid story.
It doesn't seem organic.
And then they do things like, you just complained earlier about, and I'm about to agree with you on this, about Wes saying, So Strand is temporarily blinded by the tear gas, and Wes says, I'll go out front and distract the walker so you can start the car, Alicia, right? And he runs out the door, and only after he goes out the door does Alicia begin looking for the keys. Like, why didn't they have the guy wait? Be like, okay, look for the keys, and then I'll run out, right? And then he goes outside, and he's like, he's got all these zombies out front.
Many of them. Like, I felt
In the end, there's another door, and Alicia goes out. She's like, I'll go out the back door. So if there was a back door, why did you have to go out the front
door
to kill the zombies?
Yeah, I wondered that, too.
Right?
I wondered that, too.
Yeah.
That's those kind of things that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I try to not let those annoy me too much, because the show makes no sense half the time if you pick it apart too much. But I don't know.
It just is so, like, beyond making any sense.
Mind watching it, but it's not, I don't know, I got to be honest, like, we keep talking about it, and I know we talk about it because we have, and, you know, we have our podcast, but part of me kind of feels sometimes like, I don't feel like this is even a show worthy of our discussion anymore. Like, sometimes it's okay to watch it because it's something that's on, and out of what's on, it's enjoyable, but we talked about Walking Dead and that before. It was always because, like, of the good character development, and there was, like, deep discussions, and I just feel like anymore, we're not talking about that. We're talking about little nitpicky things, because that's what it's come down to, which isn't good.
You're right. Like, I think you're right that this is a show that's not worthy of our coverage anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying we can just, like, quit. I'm just saying that, like, I feel like that sometimes.
No. I mean, so if there's a reason to cover the show, it's probably because I was reading an article today, and it was comparing the ratings of all of the other shows on AMC, and it's still their second-rated show after Walking Dead, and it earns ratings way, way higher than, like, Preacher or The Terror or, you know, really, like, anything other than something like A Better Call Saul, like this show. So by the way, this week was an all-time series low viewership for Fear the Walking Dead. They're the lowest they've ever been. They're way, way lower than...
That means their programming isn't all that, for the most part, isn't always something that's going to get it. Like, they need to fix the rest of the programming, too. But if
well,
that's their
I mean,
show,
I think it being AMC, they don't have the same, you know, targets, maybe, as HBO or NBC or Netflix or whatever. Like, they're always going to be a smaller, nichier station. But Walking Dead is huge for them. Fear is, even though Fear is at its all-time lowest viewership, it's still the second biggest show on the network, right? So that's why it keeps airing, and that's why outlets like ours and others keep covering it, because there are people out there who are watching it. I think a lot of people were hate watching it. I no longer read. You can't find a half-decent review of this show online, pretty much. And all the comment fields of every review and all the tweets are filled with, like, just people saying how they hate the show and they don't watch it. They're hate watching it. Like, you rarely see people saying they thought it was a great episode anymore. Right? God bless you.
Excuse me. Thank you.
People are watching it because they're invested in it and they're hoping it'll turn.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we shouldn't cover it. I'm just saying that sometimes I wonder, it just feels kind of like, why? Because we're not having, I don't know, like, when I watch a show and we talk about it, I like having kind of like our intelligent conversation about different things that happened, and I just, anymore, all we're ever doing is ripping apart the science and the story and everything. Like, we're not talking about, like, what was interesting so much. Not, I mean, definitely not as much. It's more about what was wrong with it, so.
Because there's nothing interesting anymore.
Right, that's my point. They need to update.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wes is kind of an interesting character, maybe because he's new. Although I think there are new characters that I dislike. So it was I don't really care about Grace that much. I'm not invested in her. And I found myself kind of liking Wes.
I love Lost, but she's not.
Yeah.
Not as...
I found myself liking Wes and hoping that he would that he would live and whatever. So they introduced a person that I kind of cared about a little bit, which surprised me.
We know that the regular show last season got a lot better. I feel like if they focused on Fear a little bit more, maybe they could get it better too. I feel like any more, though, to me, it feels like they're just pushing Walking Dead because that's their big show, and they don't really care so much anymore about Fear the Walking Dead. Because it's like, instead of, like, why are they making new spinoff series? You should be fixing what you have, not adding something else, because you're just going to have three shows that are crappy, you know? Fix what's broke first before you go adding something else.
Well, I think that we should not expect Fear the Walking Dead to get better anytime soon, because the season's done, shot, in the can. They're finished making the season, so there's no opportunity for anybody to get fired or changed or hired or really change direction
But it's been renewed,
until they
I think,
go to work
right?
on the next season. It's already been renewed, yes. There's definitely a new season. Yeah. So the opportunity for improvement comes only after we get through the season. So we're going to have to struggle through for a few more weeks until it's over. So, all right. Anything else interesting? Anything good, or anything else to add? I don't have anything else to add.
Not really. Other than Strand should have went in the building right away, and it was kind of dumb he stayed out there to get that zombie. I mean, I guess in a way he got it so the thing wouldn't keep running around killing other people with his tear gas. But it kind of like he should have cared more about saving himself and getting in there and getting well so they could go kill it. But other than that, that was really the only thing that stuck out to me per se that I could think about.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on from it before it makes us.
Yeah.
Killjoys was good this week, I thought.
Yes, much better than Fear the Walking Dead, I think. So the one thing I was thinking was it made me think of you because Johnny had that conversation with Dutch finally, and you kind of see that Dutch isn't 100% not affected by it. So I did appreciate that they kind of showed that. And I think it was more interesting because we talked about, too, how, like, he didn't have a romantic love for her, but yet it affected him. But I like the idea and hadn't really thought about that maybe it's not so much her. I mean, because he said before how, like, he wanted to live on a farm and all this, and it's like he misses that freedom, that life. And so I don't know. It's sad, but hopefully he will get that. And I like that they kind of made that reference to that episode where they were swapping partners or whatever, and it's like, you know, you get a year, you go try something else, and if you like it, you stay there, and, you know,
yeah,
not required to come back. That was like selfless, so I appreciated that part.
I like that part. So I would have to say that I like that part also. It hadn't occurred to me when Johnny says, you know, you were born to be a Dutch, you were born to be a killjoy, but maybe I wasn't, and maybe I want to be a farmer and have another life and whatever. I do have to say I've never seen that in Johnny. I've never, in all the years of watching the show, gotten the idea that Johnny wasn't 100% happy to be like a killjoy and an adventurer and be by her side. And I wonder if Johnny really would be satisfied, like, being a farmer and not having these adventures where he gets to hack a super prison, or, you know, deal with a robot, or all these, like, great, like, sort of,
yeah,
like, he's
know.
A technology
they,
nerd,
he
right?
Did, but he did mention in the one episode about the farm and that. I think it was the one where he was with that hacker girl. I can't remember. But I don't think it's not that he doesn't enjoy what he does. I just think he likes the idea of not being on the run and being chased at and, you know, kind of the danger of it. Like, he wants a break. I don't know. That's kind of more what I get. It's not that he wants to necessarily quit forever, but
I mean, I'm not saying
it's interesting. Yeah, I just remembered him talking about it before. That was why I kind of was like, okay, yeah, I remember that. So the ones in the prison are dumb. We know that because that guy should have known better not to listen to Corin, and then he ends up killing him. And Dutch at least tries to get them to listen because she's the smart one, and it only somewhat works, but you know, since Johnny and the warden find the bombs, they seem to be going okay. There's a couple different things in here. I have three different recaps open because some of them said things a little different than the other one, and was not necessarily how I don't know how I took it. So the main part, this part's the same, is obviously that those people come to get, supposedly, to get the Crushies back and that they'll pay them a ransom. But we kind of knew that wasn't going to happen anyway, no matter what. And they're just planting the bombs. I think they said somewhere at some point that they don't want them to come back. That was like probably their uncle or something who was going to be next in line. I can't remember when that was said, but
yes. Yes. If the Crushy brother and sister, whose names I forget, it doesn't matter. If they die, the leadership of the family would pass to their uncle. So their uncle is using them against each other to kill them both and therefore become head of the house.
Right, right. So nobody to help is coming.
Right.
So that storyline, though, the comment I kind of wanted to make is that, okay, so talking about, this is not exactly about that, but talking about Klein, it leads into that. So Klein goes to, I'm losing my mind here. Goes to Pree's boyfriend that I can't think of his name at the moment.
Garrett.
Okay, so he goes to Garrett, and he's like, he's not telling you and everything. And I get that he does it to get him to spy on him. It looked like from this one recap that they were saying he wanted Garrett to kill Pree, which made absolutely no sense. So I'm hoping that's just a typo because it just didn't make sense. But I don't know. It seems like different people have different, and even me and you have different opinions on Klein. Now, I thought, and this was kind of more of my guess, it wasn't said, but he's watching them, and when he finds out about the bombs, that they're in trouble, he deletes the video. Now, he wanted her to go back to save them, so at first I was kind of like, why would he want to get rid of the video that proved they were in trouble? But I almost kind of wonder that, because he knows they're smart, I almost kind of wonder that, like, when he heard what was going on, he knew that they'd somehow use it to cloak the ship and that, like, he knows they're not dead. And I don't know, I'm not exactly sure why I feel like that, but that's how I felt during this episode. Like, I think he totally knows they're not dead. I think he's just covering and, like, making her think he thinks that. I don't know. How did you – whoa, I just saw something about Harry Potter on the screen. I'm sorry. I'm, like, looking. I'm like, what? What? It's about the park. Sorry. Go ahead.
I think Klein believes they're dead.
You think what?
I think Klein believes they're dead. So Dutch and Johnny and Dab, they don't know Klein is alive and helping the lady.
Well, they know he's alive because they helped them get out, at least Dab anyway.
All right. Yeah, all right. Well, they don't know what's going on, whatever. They don't know what's going on, obviously, and that he's with her and he's helping her or he's in prison, whatever. They're not in the loop, right? I think that he believes they're dead because there's no reason for anyone to believe that the prison ship has an illegal cloaking mechanism. And I don't think it really would occur to them or occurs to them in this, certainly at this moment, he believes it. Cause like, could he figure out down the road? Maybe, but I don't think there's any way right now that Klein's like, oh, I bet they had a cloaking mechanism or some other way to fake their own deaths.
Why he deleted her from knowing that. Unless maybe he didn't want her to know he was spying on them, that he had that information, because she would have used it. I don't know. Why I felt that, I'm not even sure. But I do think Klein is on their side. I still think he's trying to help them. You seem to be not so sure from when I talked to you last week.
I'm not. I don't believe he's trying to help them. I think he might be trying to save his daughter, and he doesn't care if the boys die.
Well, I think he cares more about Dutch, and he'll let them die, but I feel like he's
trying. His daughter, Dutch. I think he wants to save Dutch. He doesn't care if those two – I don't think he cares if those two die. If they die, they die. If they happen to live, they happen to live. But he has one goal, which is to save
Dutch. Think that's his main goal, but I feel like he knows that she'll be mad at him. I don't know. I feel like he's trying to save them all if he can. I don't think like, that's definitely not his top priority, but I think he has the whole thing to save them all.
I disagree. I don't think he really is like, oh, if they die, Dutch is mad at me. I don't think he really cares if Dutch is mad at him as long as she's alive. And if she hates him for the rest of her life, but she's alive, that would be an acceptable outcome.
I don't know. I also read that maybe we're supposed to think the opposite, and maybe he's trying to save her grandson. I mean, I don't know why he would, but unless maybe he's more like, well, the universe needs to survive. I don't know.
Well, maybe he's trying to, like, I don't think he's trying to save Jack. It's not really her.
No, I don't. I'm saying I read that somewhere. It was an interesting theory.
Yeah, I actually think that he would be Dutch will be mad at him if the child dies, and so it's possible he also is trying to save Dutch and save the world, and that he
I think we're not privy to everything that's going on. I feel like regardless of what it is, the reason why we're in the dark and wondering is because they're not showing us everything.
Yeah.
Obviously.
There can be two things. He's trying to save Dutch no matter what. All he cares about is saving Dutch. Or he's trying to save Dutch and defeat the lady. Save Dutch and save the world. And somehow, either he's like, I think he's playing the lady. I'm not really sure in what way. I mean, he definitely was playing her this week with this video, and that he was trying to hide it so that she wouldn't know what he was doing. And then he clearly was lying when he was like, oh, I was, I made a promise to you, I made a promise to you, lady. So, I do, I kind of appreciate, like, having just talked about a really crappy show, I kind of appreciate that this is a show that is keeping us guessing and that we're not able to agree on in kind of a good way, that the show is written in a way that we both kind of come away with different opinions on it, at least for now.
It's got a lot better writing, so.
Yeah. I like the warden. I would not mind seeing her be their partner for a few episodes. I think she's pretty. She's been a pretty straight shooter. She hasn't really lied to them. She's just been doing her job, And so I like her. I was disappointed to see. I mean, we know Garrett is dumb. Priest boyfriend Garrett. He's pretty dumb, and in an endearingly dumb kind of way. And to see the way he was so he like Klein manipulated him so easily and so quickly to convince him that Pri was lying to him, and Pri is lying to him, but we saw that a week ago where, you know, there's a conversation had where it's safer for Garrett not to be woken up right now.
Right.
And that's
I feel like it's kind of mean that Klein did that in a way, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of that with Klein, like, that makes me think that he's helping the lady, right? Like, he's, like, spying on these guys, and, like, they're not really, I mean, he does eventually find out about the message from Dutch, I guess, so it worked out, but he's not doing, Klein's not doing anything to help the people in Westerly who are going to be, like, totally wiped out in, like, one or two more episodes if nothing happens to help them.
Well, I think he probably also figures that if he does save the crew, that they will try to save Westerly too, save the world. I mean, it's not like they're just going to give up and be like, okay, thanks for saving us and let everybody else die. So there is
that. But Klein could be doing more than like waiting for them to get there in time while 1,000 clones are being grown on the planet, right?
Right, but that's where I said I feel like we're missing a big piece of something on like there's something they're purposely hiding from us.
Yeah,
because we don't have enough of the puzzle.
This is why I feel like he doesn't care about anything but saving Dutch. And I don't really think that Klein can get a, like, utter redemption in the end where he helps Dutch and she's grateful and they, like, live happily ever after. He, like,
I don't remember
how much he screwed her up as a child. And he can't get a pass in the final season, I don't think, on that. Like,
I guess not. But I'm not saying that he can't. I don't want to say that he cares about saving the other people. I mean, I'm saying, like, that he wants to save everybody if he can. If he can't, it comes down to it, I think he'd, like, let them die and to save Dutch, you know. But I think that he's attempting to do the right things. I just feel like the fact that we are not sure of what he's doing makes me think that the writers are purposely, like, not telling us. Like, it's not, like, it's supposed, we're supposed to be confused, you know. It's, they want us to be guessing.
Yeah.
So,
what
about Anila and Anila and
Kendry.
Kendry. Yeah, I couldn't remember her name. So I never really thought about that Anila wasn't human. Like, I hadn't really thought it through. I mean, it makes total sense. I just hadn't thought about it because she was the original Dutch, I guess. But still, she had taken all the. She was Holen because she had taken all that stuff that made her Holen, and it took it out of all the Holens, I guess. But she was also somewhere else when they removed got rid of the Holen, I guess, for lack of a better word. Because I don't think it killed him. I think it just like took the green out of him. Like she was wherever Klein had her at that moment when that happened. Maybe she was still in the green. I don't know. But it's like how the lady's still Holen. So I mean, it makes sense that she's not human.
I don't understand it. I didn't even understand I didn't understand it when I watched it. I didn't understand it when you just said it. I don't really understand how she's still Holland when
the lady's still Holland. And she's the only one. Yeah, but like I said, I figured it was maybe because she was the original. Like the other ones were Holland because she made them Holland. You know what I mean? She was Holland because she was, I can't remember in the beginning, injected with stuff, experimented on, whatever. It's like Dav still has his, like, bust their eye power or whatever, I think. Like, he's still human but still has, like, that ability. I think that part that they had isn't going to go away, but the ones that were specifically made Holen because of her, like, that strain is gone. You know what I mean? Because, like, Klein came back in that. I don't know, because I know all the greens went away, but I just kind of assumed, like, if she was the original, that it wouldn't necessarily affect her. Like, I hadn't thought about it till it happened. But when I realized it, that's kind of the way I felt like it. Like I said, plus she was potentially in the green when it all went down. We don't really know. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't really like Anila. I never grew to like her when they softened her up last season. I mean, they softened her. She got a little more human. I never really liked her. I don't like her voice. I understand
that. We talked
about
how she's still pretty much evil, though, and she
did
what she did because it benefited her. Although I do kind of like Kendry more than, I think Kendry's been cool.
I grew to like Kendry more and more, and I instantly liked her less when paired with Anila. Like, I just don't like her with Anila. I feel like, couldn't she have grown more?
I feel like she doesn't need Anila
and
anymore.
Right, and she instantly became like, you know, I like that she stood up for herself a little bit, but she sort of did become the old Kendry right away around Anila. I wonder if she will. Not sure how this ends. I'd like to see Kendry dump Anila maybe and just be a single mom to Jack in the way that she's grown. I don't really know where I'd like to. I'd kind of maybe see this ending with Anila sacrificing herself so that the rest of them can somehow, like, I don't see how Dutch and Anila can, like, how the show ends with both of them going on their way. Maybe Anila will sacrifice herself, like, in her ultimate, most human moment, sacrifice herself for Kendry and Jack or something.
That, yeah.
She's problematic to me. She's problematic, and I want her to go away.
I
don't like
that.
Her. And
she wasn't
she makes
the,
me like Kendry
the best
less.
Character. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it was cool to see the actress do, like, two sides to it, and sometimes it was interesting, although her voice just always, I don't know, grated on me for some reason.
Me too.
Like, the
me
way
too.
She talks all like a little kid. That I was not down with. But the rest of it was kind of cool. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up, hopefully we'll find out soon. Yeah, but I mean, I think it was a pretty good episode overall.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll be out of the prison soon. But I guess
yeah.
They are out of the prison per se. They're using it as a ship now, so they're not actually in prison. So I guess I can't really say that. But
yeah.
They've got
well,
control
is,
of the ship.
They're in a prison. They're still in a prison.
Right, but they're not
prisoners
in the prison.
No, but they're still in a prison with 4,000 prisoners to deal with. But they're going to fly it to Westeria, I guess.
Right, but they're not like locked in the cages now, so it's okay.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to remember, though, is was there something, there wasn't anything wrong with the ship, though, just the operating system, right? The fact that, because they can still get their other ship back, right? Because that's what I was trying to remember. Like, Lucy was compromised, but not the actual physical ship. They left because they were taken away or whatever, from what I remembered. I was trying to remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
But...
I can't remember. I can't. It was taken from them. I'm not. I don't know.
Okay.
Really. But it's around. Their ship is around somewhere, yeah. But for now, it's not available.
Yeah, I don't know if they need it. I just kind of wanted to get their ship back, but it's still not going to be Lucy, so.
Yeah.
But hey, we run that ship, so. I'd also like to do
that reason. You and I run that ship.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we... covered it. Got it covered.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's as far as I can think, all that I've seen. Like I said, watch Dark Crystal. Interview will be going up. And I am going to try to watch the screeners because I just have wanted to but haven't had the time to watch Carnival Row because I think it does look really good. But
yeah, I haven't either, but
yeah.
Yep.
All right.
That's on
the
list.
Have a good night.
All right.
You too, AJ, who's been quiet. Is he still there? Or is he doing
have
quiet?
A good night, Jamie.
Okay,
he's here.
Good night.
Talk to
have
you
good
soon,
night,
Jamie. Have a good week.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Yeah, have a good week,
too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
I had myself on mute, but I did chuckle a few times at some of your comments about The Walking Dead. Or Fear the Walking Dead.
Because it's so horrible. Oh my God, it's so bad. I mean, yeah.
That's why I quit.
Yeah.
That's why I quit after season two. I knew it. I saw it coming.
Yeah. Yep, I know. It's a real hate watch right now. After having such
you know
a good
really
season
funny?
Last. But
I find myself, like when I was watching Preacher, when I was fast going through the commercials, I was like, after every commercial it was Preacher, like, the first commercial every time is something about The Walking Dead. And every time I roll my eyes and just hit fast forward.
It really is. It is. They have tons of ads for Walking Dead and Preacher. And really the other way around also.
So,
just, like, cross-pollinating
Preacher,
those.
Yeah.
It was on. Yeah, I'm done. It was on. There's my review.
That's all there is to say about it. It was on. I thought it was
actually,
kind of boring.
Before we get into the episode, I didn't want to bring this up before because we weren't talking about Preacher yet. But the irony is, you know, because Garth Ennis, you know, wrote the comics for The Boys and Preacher, and now they're both TV shows. Whereas The Boys is good, the comic. Well, I haven't read the whole thing yet. I've got like maybe like 30 issues left. It's good, but not as good as the comic of Preacher was, in my opinion. Now, the TV show of The Boys is better than Preacher. I enjoyed
yeah.
that. And they changed a lot on The Boys. They left a lot of stuff out on The Boys, and I get why they stuck to the main story, and I get that, which didn't hurt the show. Well, on the flip side, I hate the stuff they left out of Preacher.
Yeah. Yeah, you hate, yeah, like you say that week after week, they've left out some great stuff and added a bunch of stupid stuff.
Yeah, and that, you know, and that's the thing I can't decide now, and that's why I have to listen to how you feel about it to see if I'm justified, because I know I've got to be jaded at this point, because there's so many things that I would have loved to have seen from the comics and the storyline that they completely have left out of the show, and I don't see them putting it in the last three episodes. So I've gotten to a point where I don't know if it's just bad, they just ruined the show, or if it's just me going, I don't know what's going on because none of this was in the comic.
Yeah.
But you said it was boring, so maybe it's not just me.
I thought it was a boring episode because it was another week of like kind of like not a lot happening. I did think that Jesse's storyline was a little better because they finally paired him with Eugene. I don't really like Eugene, and Eugene's sort of like, I mean, he's become an extraneous character because Eugene has been so removed from the action. Like, for him to be back in it, I think we talked about last week, like, oh, yeah, I forgot Eugene was even alive or in the show. They pulled off a big surprise. I was surprised to see Eugene shoot Jesse. I think it was really out of character for someone who has spent really the entire show being, like, a forgiving person, you know, befriending Hitler. Praying over all the people the Saint kills, and then for him to suddenly pull a gun. I don't know. Were you surprised, or did you see that coming? Is that a comic book?
I in a way, I kind of liked it because, you know, I like the fact that Eugene was like, you know, because he tells the Saint, he's like, all I want from Jesse is an apology. And Jesse gives him a heartfelt apology. And I kind of like the fact that Eugene's like, you know, that's all I wanted, and it wasn't enough. You know, I kind of like that a little. But the storyline itself, it just seems too little too late. It's like you said, they've been sidetracked for so long. You know, the Saint hasn't played the role, a big enough role, I feel, in the show. And they're kind of shoehorning them in at the end game here. And it's just, I don't know. You know, this whole thing of this stuff of the Armageddon. I mean, they've brought Jesus in and they've brought Hitler in, and it's just like, I did get a kick out of the fact when they first introduced Jesus, right? And
we had seen him a couple seasons ago, but he didn't really become a character until last week.
When Jesus comes out and he's in the tower, and she looks at him and goes, Jesus. that was hilarious. And actually, you want to know my favorite part of the episode?
What?
Was when they were playing I can't think of the name of the song now. The Queen song. They were playing with the angel and the demon.
Oh yeah, yeah. My love of my life, or my
love
yeah.
of my life. Yeah,
yeah.
That was a fair part, just because they played Queen for fucking 30 seconds. And
what?
You know what's funny is I took him to Place Queen for 30 seconds. That was my favorite part of the episode.
Oh, that was your favorite part of it. Yeah. So that brings us to the Cassidy and I mean so Tulip has this little like encounter with Jesus where she's like befriended Jesus. Jesus like wants to get out into the outside world. And it doesn't work out and they come home. So I'm not sure what they're trying to tell us with all this. Like in the end, Jesus like goes home because he doesn't want to get in trouble or really out of like a sense of duty or just fear of like Jesus is afraid of what he might do if he
He's not good with one-liners. He's like, nobody move or the blood will be on the wall.
Yeah. And, you know, so then Tulip gets kind of guilted into going back to Cassidy. Cassidy wants to go help Jess. Like, everybody's, like, having guilt. And, like, they all act out of guilt. Everyone in the whole storyline, Jesus, Cassidy, Tulip, they all act sort of like out of a sense of responsibility and guilt and are going against what they really want to do like what's right, I guess, in that thing. It really took too much time to get there. I really don't like the Archangel and his whole side storyline, which I don't really think is necessary.
Yeah, that's the most thing. You've got 3 episodes left. You've totally strayed from your main characters. You're throwing in characters nobody cares about. I mean, does anybody think Hitler's going to win and get what he wants? I mean, seriously. Obviously they intentionally grab, you know, to make up this storyline. They got them probably one of the most hated people in the world. So, of course, we're rooting against the guy. You know, it's just gotten so convoluted, you know? Like, the Archangel, he did his part. He had sex with his demon to create our story. You don't need him anymore. He's pointless, you know?
Yeah.
I won't tell you what happens to the Archangel in the comic yet because we haven't gotten to the end because he might still end up in the same place that he did in the comic. But...
yeah. He might end up doing something. But yeah, I felt like this was a new this character who's been sort of a bit of comic relief in Cassidy's cell, and it was never clear why he was in Cassidy's cell, and now we know because he had sex with a demon and whatever. But there was all this like sight gag and stuff on the side of them dancing, and yeah, it's like an unnecessary thing going on there that took up too much of my time, you know. And he's like having this long conversation, like trying to convince Cassidy to go after Tulip, and Cassidy's like, no, that's my best friend's girl. I feel like that's well-worn territory for us viewers, and we are fully aware of Cassidy's internal struggle, and I don't know that I felt I needed like 5 to 10 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I agree.
Dragging that out and reminding me of that, right?
And actually,
like, we know...
I was distracted. Everything was Cassidy. I was distracted. When did he get a haircut?
Right? I don't recall him getting a haircut and bleached. That surprised me also.
Just me.
No.
They focused on him, I was just so distracted. It's a bad haircut. I'm used to seeing Cassidy with the kind of crazy, you know, it's short, but it's kind of crazy. And now it's like, I don't know what it is. It's bad. And it took me out of the story.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny because I thought maybe I missed it because sometimes I don't pay full attention to this show. And I'm like, oh, I must have been looking at my phone or cooking something at the stove and only listening. And maybe I missed the haircut and the dye job. But apparently not. Apparently it's a surprise to you as well. So I don't know when it happened, and it was distracting and bad looking. yeah, I also am really, like, over, like, those guys, like, it's only a couple episodes ago that Jesse left them, but I really, this show has always been about the three of them together on the road, and I'd like to see them put back together. I mean, Tulip continues to be the best character, has all the best lines, like, her conversation with Jesus was actually kind of, you know, interesting, and she has some interesting things to say. I'm also not sure how I feel. So they're definitely making God out to be the bad guy, and not just because Tulip is saying it, but God seems to be wanting to bring about the apocalypse, right?
Tulip telling Jesus that God's an asshole was great.
That was pretty great. It was pretty, and I actually kind of really, I thought it was pretty great, like, the way Jesus was talking about, like, oh, you know, I committed one sin, and, you know, my other, you know, Humperdinck is actually the favorite child. He's so perfect. He's so good. He, you know, he's not capable of, like, sinning, and he's the favorite, which, I mean, I found that kind of interesting. You know, the idea that, I mean, so Jesus was, you know, if you are a religious person, Jesus was born a man and had struggles like a human, and I kind of appreciate that they're showing, like, some, a real human side, like, the Jesus that we have in the show is, like, a real human Jesus.
Yeah, and he has daddy issues.
Yeah, and his father's a little jerk, like, they're making God out to be really a jerk, and I'm not sure what he's, I'm not sure where it's going to go, and you're not either, because none of that's in the comic book, right? I mean, maybe
none
God has a plan in the comic book.
I mean, none of the Jesus stuff is, and I mean,
yeah.
The whole thing with God teaming up with Hairstar, I mean, Hairstar's plan is still coming to, you know, on par for the course. You know, he,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, I mean, bringing on the apocalypse is part of it, because then Humperdinck is supposed to rise up and become and be the new savior, you know?
Yeah.
Because God has God's vacated heaven. God's like, I'm done with this crap. He's like, I created this mess, and I'm done, you know? He's like,
yeah.
So God can give two shits about anything. Having God team up with all this and everything doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the story
right.
He started with.
No, because he's supposed to be just kind of over it and, like, I'm gone, I'm on vacation. I'm not even, like, trying, like, the idea that he has a plan is not the God that we met, that we heard about in season one or two.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Apparently he had a plan all along. Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Mostly I feel like what's happening in it could happen, like, in 5 minutes and not an hour. And... Yeah. Yeah. And
you know what else was kind of
straining
funny?
Credulity.
What? What'd you say? No, go ahead.
Well, it's straining credulity. Like this week for the first time I began to look like really like lose track of the story and wonder things like how did he get to Australia in a raft and what and why does he never change his clothes and why is his costume always perfectly clean and like and like how did Tulip's car get to the Israel, it's her same car that she had, like, in America. Like, I'm starting to, like,
mm-hmm.
really question these things that I know it's because in a comic book, a character always wears the same outfit in the whole comic book, right? That's really why. And in a comic book, you can do these things. But I'm starting to, like, lose track of the story and start to dwell on these and on these little, like,
mm-hmm.
like nitpicky things that really I shouldn't
and,
even really
and
be noticing.
Yeah, and that's when you know you've lost your audience. When your audience starts worrying
yeah.
more about the nitpicky stuff, you know, I mean, you might, you know, you see a movie and it's really good, and then afterwards, you know, people are like, oh, well, this didn't make sense, and that, you know, little things that people point out after the fact, but there's, you know, but they still agree, oh, it's still a really good movie. We're at the point
mm-hmm.
of the show where we're like, we don't even know what happened in the episode. We're like, but this was wrong and this was wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I still don't even understand why Jesse's in Australia.
He floated in that raft after the plane crash.
Well, no, I know that, but I don't understand why he was going to Australia in the first place. Like, he's got this picture of some rock, and somebody was like, it's in Australia. Like, I don't even understand the significance of this picture to begin with.
Well, I mean,
sure
I know what that picture is. Those rock formations were called the 12 Apostles. I saw them when I was in Australia.
Right.
They were called
the
12 Apostles. Why he has it, why he's going there, and
right.
feels like
that's
where
we're getting at.
Like,
yeah,
why
and,
is
and
his
I don't
journey
what
getting
happened.
Him there? I'm not really sure either why he thinks he needs to go there. That's really...
The only entertaining thing that happened in Australia was the Saint getting hit by a wrecking ball.
That was pretty great. That was pretty good. I'm worried. I think, AJ, that probably this is something that we knew. This is something that that maybe the audience knew, but you and I are no longer, like, engaged or paying attention. And so at some point...
Oh, I guarantee that.
At some point, some people in the audience know why Jesse went to Australia, but we don't know because we stopped, like, following it or caring about it. It's really... Yeah, I really don't know what's going on or why. Dad.
Yeah,
it's bad.
I'm glad there's only 3 episodes left. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't find much to really like. I mean, I guess I continue to feel like I might watch a show completely about Tulip because they seem to be getting her right in a lot of ways. I feel like she's still kind of true to the character that she has always been.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit that she's sort of robbed of having a storyline other than, like, I gotta save Jesse, I gotta help Jesse, is a little, I'd like to see her have more, I don't know, I guess I'd like to see her be the main character and have more to do and be more than just, like, I'm gonna help my man, I gotta save my man from himself kind of thing. Although she's, you know.
Actually, she's not. Yeah, no, she's – well, that's because he sent that letter calling her a lying whore.
Yeah, I kind of misspoke. She doesn't want to help him. She's like, I'm going to go do my thing. It's Jesse who – I mean, it's Cass who's dedicated to helping Jesse. And Tulip really is – she's kind of over it, but I guess deep down in her heart, she still loves him and is going to go on and help him.
Yeah, there's only one thing that I'm hoping they do – From the comic that but who knows? I mean, if they do this one thing and they end it right, I probably will be content. But I really don't have any faith. I've lost all hope. It's sad too because you know, I mean, it started off great last season. Spent way too much time with grandma and now it's funny because we spent all last season in one spot, you know, and it just drug on and drug on and drug on, and now this season everything is all over the place. It's like they're just bouncing around,
they're over the planet.
I mean, the time in the raft with the pilot was just. I mean, I'm sure there was a point. I don't know. I guess it's like, you know, it's funny. Jesse's using his power to try and help the guy, ends up hurting the guy and getting him killed. You know, and it's almost like, is the point? What was the point of that? Was the point of that to show, you know, to teach Jesse a lesson? I mean, the guy literally dies, and then Jesse looks up and oh look. There's the shore, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that happens again. And it happened again. Like, Jesse goes into the car rental place. He says to the guy, I have the power to make you do what I want, but, you know, every time I use it, people get killed, so I'm not going to use it. So just give me the car.
Right.
And then Jesse can't resist, and he says, you don't stutter. I guess he's trying to help the guy, which it's a little bit obnoxious to like, he just stutters. He doesn't need help. He's fine, right? And then Jesse uses it, and then what happens? The guy gets killed, right?
Yeah.
Like, Jesse's not capable of learning or of resisting the urge to use Genesis. Like, Jesse shouldn't have Genesis. Like, however, like whatever, like, Jesse believes God gave him Genesis, but Jesse shouldn't have Genesis. He's not a good custodian of Genesis.
Well, Jesse's the only one that didn't blow up when Genesis went into him.
Well,
that's why Jesse
has it by default, not because he's any good at controlling Genesis. He just can't. He just screws up every time.
You know, I just had a thought. I mean, I don't know. I know Seth Rogen is an executive producer of the show, and I don't know if he has any storyline influence, but I'm starting to think that this entire season, that they were all high when they were writing it.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, this is the same crew from season one. It's not like they got a whole bunch of new people who are no talents. You know, it's like they changed all the people on Fear the Walking Dead, and it hasn't really, in my opinion, helped. This is the Preacher we have, I think, basically the same group of people.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing to see it. I think they just don't know. I don't know. I think they don't know what to do. I think they are, like, too in love with their little, like, jokes and side trips, and wouldn't it be funny if we had, like, you know, in the background we hear all this noise of, like, the angel and the demon, like, having sex while people are trying to have a conversation. Like, I feel like there's a bunch of little boys right now. So
I want to know how that scene was filmed, because I guess I was getting such a kick out of that wide angle shot that they had of Cassidy bouncing off the bar stool. So I'm curious if that was a camera trick that they were doing because everything was kind of rattling, or if the actor was literally bouncing his butt off into the bar stool.
Yeah. Okay, sit there and bounce. That's a good question. And I appreciate that.
And
but in general, that's what you're thinking about.
This is what I'm thinking about. These are the things that we're noticing and enjoying more than what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And
you can't tell me what they were talking about.
The last 2 weeks of Preacher, I've watched while doing other things.
Yeah.
Which could be part of the reason I'm missing stuff because.
Yeah.
I lost my interest.
Yeah. Well, 3 more weeks, it'll be over. And we can, you know, put it to bed. Maybe it'll end on a great note. You never know. Like, look, we've had others. The Hundred, which we complained about, and they stuck the ending twice, right?
Yeah.
So
they definitely stuck it better last year than this year, though.
They stuck it better last year. Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah.
If they do this one thing in Preacher, if they end Preacher doing this one thing, then I'll be somewhat content. If they don't, if they just throw it by the wayside, then it's just par for the course with the season.
All right. We're going to remember this conversation and talk about it in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah.
See if it happens. Okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
Well, that's our show, folks.
That's it for this week. All right. Well, we have the same lineup next week. So same bat time, same bat channel.
Yep. And Salty has got to be starting sometime soon. So.
Yeah, Wynonna Earp is back.
Eventually.
In September. Some things are coming back in September, yeah. So we'll have a new slate of shows now. All right, cool. All right, take it easy. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good week.
Talk to you later, Karen.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Bye, everyone.
And all our listeners, thank you so much for listening to us complain about everything. If you're still listening, because all we do is complain about everything. So thank you.
Yep.
And good night.
Good night.